Today's blot is Daf Hey. We will begin at 9 lines from the top. Elamer of Zera. Yesterday's blot on Daf Talad, Amin Aleph, the Gemara had posed a question. The Gemara asked the question that the Mishnah said, our Mishnah on Daf Bey spoke about somebody picking up from the Ani's hand, depositing in the Yoni's hands, from the Baal Bais's hand, from the depositing in the Baal Bais's hand, picking up from the Baal Bais's hand. And we had asked the question that for the Kira Anokh to take place, it has to be on a Makam Choshev, on a Makam of Dalad al-Dalad. And a hand, obviously, is not a Dalad al-Dalad. So we're attempting to identify a Manda Omer that doesn't require Dalad al-Dalad. We made a few attempts, the Gemara made a few attempts, and so far has not been successful. So Rav Zeir makes an attempt, and he says, Homani, who is the Tanya of our Mishnah? Acherim he. It's the Acherim, the Tanya. Acherim say, Acherim Oimrim. If a person threw an object, Dalar Amasim Shusarabim, and another person caught it, so now the question is the person who threw the object Chayiv to Mavi Dalar Amasim Shusarabim or not? So the Chayim Paskin as follows. Omid became Mekibel, if the person who caught it was standing in his place and caught the object, Chayiv, then the person who threw the object is Chayiv, because the person that threw did both the Akira and the Hanocha. However, Okim became Mekibel, if the person who caught the object went from his, left his place and ran towards the object, and that's how he caught it, Potter, then the person crouching it, then the person throwing it is not Chayev, because we don't consider as if he did both the Akira and the Hanocha. And Rashi explains, because since the person who caught it ran towards the object and caught it, so the catching, the Hanocha, is attributed to the Mekabel, not to the thrower, and as we've been saying so many times, to have a Melechas Hatzah, we have to have both an Akira and an Anocha. The Rambam says a different explanation. The Rambam says, when I throw an object, my intent is that it should reach a certain destination. My intent was it should reach the destination of the catcher's arm. Now, if the person who caught it ran towards it, so it isn't or wasn't caught by the original destination, and therefore it's not considered the hanocha that I had in mind, and therefore it's not considered a melech tzitzah. The Sfasemis points out, according to the Rambam, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person who caught it had to move from his space. If he just moved his hand from its original place, that would already be considered that it wasn't in the place that it was intended to be thrown to, and he would be chayif. Continues the Gemara. Amid mekayim lekibel chayif. Now we just said that if he stood in his place and he was mekabelit, the person who caught it was in his original place all along, he's chayif. Ask the Gemara, Rabbeinu Hanocha Agav Mokaim Arba, but we have to have, as we've been saying, a Hanocha on a Mokam Dal of the Leka, because it was just caught by his hand. El Shmamina, don't we see from this? The Loi Beinu Mokam Arba, there is no requirement for Mokam Dal of Dalmut. Ask the Gemara, even if you say that there's a proof to that effect, the Dilma Hanochu de Loi Beinu, maybe Hanocha, as we've been learning, is less severe in requiring Dalad al-Dalad, whether because the pasuk that talks about Yetze Ish v'Mekaymoi, that you need a Mokam, was talking about an Akira, or like we explained earlier, the Hanukkah is always easy because it's already the completion of the Malacha. But to begin a Malacha, Akira, maybe that Chayim will agree, Be'inon, we need a Mokam Dalad al-Dalad. Furthermore, V'Anoch Nami, who says that this case was that he caught it in his hands? Dilma the Pashit Kanfei V'Kavli. Maybe the Brice is talking in a case where the catcher spread out the corner of his cape, and that's how he caught the object, and therefore the Ikanami Anocha, we have Anocha, a on a makam dalad adalad. The Rishonim ask, the Rishonim and the Achronim, Avni Nezer point out, here we're saying that if the second person ran towards the object and was makabalit, then it would not be considered a maisa itzah. They ask, the halacha is that if somebody puts something on the fire on Shabbos to cook, that's considered a maisa bishul. What would happen if another person came and stirred that pot? So without him, the food would have not gotten cooked, or wouldn't have gotten cooked certainly as quick. We still say that the person who put the food on the pot and the fire is chai for maisa bishul. Why isn't it the same as here? And the answer is very simple, answers the Avni Nezer. Somebody who puts a pot of food on the fire is considered that he did a whole maisa bishul. The other person who stirred the pot only made it happen quicker. However, here, if the person moved from his original place, so that's considered that he didn't, that the hanocha was not done by the thrower. It's a new hanocha, and a haitzah that only consists of an akira and not the hanocha is not considered haitzah. So now we're back to trying to find Amanda Omer who holds that you don't need a makam adalat. Omer Abba Abba, Masnison, Amish is talking in a case, Kigoyin, Sh'okimet Traskel, when the person who lifted it from a baskel, V'nichagav a Traskel, and he put it into a Traskel. And therefore, Dikinami Anocha. So therefore you have both a lifting and a placing in a makam that's dalal al dalal. Ask the Gemara about Yodha Ketani. Our Mishnah said that he put it into the hand, not into the basket. Answers the Gemara, Tani Traskel Shbi Yodai. When it says Yodai, it means Traskel Shbi Yodai, the basket in his hand. Ask the Gemara, Hotanik with Traskel Shusha Yochid. Okay, a Traskel, a basket in Shusha Yochid, that is considered like a Shusha Yochid. El Traskel Shbi Shusha Rabim. But what about a basket in Shusha Rabim? If the basket in Shusha Rabim, because that's where the Oni is standing, that one, and we're considering that place of the Oni, a Rosh Hashanah, if he's holding a basket, that basket will not be a Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. It will be considered a Rosh Hashanah, because it's in the Rosh Hashanah. It has the dimensions of a Rosh Hashanah. Should we say, ask the Gemara, Lame the like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, no, it's kana Rosh Hashanah. If somebody stuck a pole in the Rosh Hashanah, or the Rosh Traskel, on the top of it is a basket of Dal Tfachim, the Zarek, the Nochal Gabov, and then he threw an object from the Rosh Hashanah, and it landed on this Traskel, Chayiv. His Chayiv for Hitzah, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So we obviously see that this traskel is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So, our basket, which we're saying in our Mishnah, which is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, true it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it should still be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Dikar Yosi Kerb Yehuda, because if we're going to follow Rabbi Yosi Kerb Yehuda's psak, Pasha Balabayas Yod Al-Chutz, the din in the Mishnah, where the Balabayas put his hand out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Nasun with Tachiyod Shaloni, and he put it into the, on his hand. And we're saying, what does it mean that he put it into the, on his hand? That means he put it into the Traskel and on his hand. Amai Chayiv, why is he Chayiv? Isn't this the situation? Rosh Hashanah Yochid come up. He's taking from his Rosh Hashanah Yochid into the Traskel, which is the Onis, which is another Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So why isn't he Chayiv? And like Tosis points out, maybe he should be chayiv of because of moishit. So he answers that moishit is only chayiv that when the first person gave it to the second person's hand. Because where do we learn moishit from? We learn moishit from what happened in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the Levim in one wagon transferred into the hands of the Levim in the second wagon to crush him. Here, it wasn't from one person's hand to another person's hand. It was through more of a different type of transfer. So why would it be chayiv? He was going from a traskel to a traskel. Answers the Gemara, I feel time Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. We could even make it work Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Hossam, where did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say that a basket has the status of a Rishus Yachid? That's when it's Lamala Me'asara. When the basket is 10 Tefachim above the ground. Because, how do we say, because there's a fundamental question, how does this basket become Rishus Yachid? The way it becomes Rishus Yachid is that we say that the walls of the basket go down all the way to the floor, and it's considered, that's called good asik, and it's considered like good achis, and it's considered like that basket has walls all the way to the floor. But for walls to be considered walls, they have to be 10 tefachim high. So when does Rabbi Yossi say that the basket has a status of Rishus Yachid? When it's 10 tefachim above ground, and now it turns into a full-fledged Rishus Yachid through good achis. Abba Hacha, here, in our Mishnah, we'll say it's talking about Lamata Asara, when the basket is less than 10 tefachim from the ground, and therefore it doesn't have the requisite size mechitzas, and it's not a Rishus Yachid. So that's how we're going to explain the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, back to what we stated. We're explaining the Mishnah is talking that it was a traskel. Tashalei l'Rabbu, so Rabbi asked, Mik tani traskel shebi yodoi. Did we talk about a traskel? The yodik tani. Our Mishnah said, our Mishnah said that he's in his hand. And not just a basket. Elam Rabbu, it's talking about a case, Kigon Shishil Suyot Lamat Mishloisha. The Mishnah is dealing in a case where the person who's taking the object had his hand within 3 tefachim from the ground, and that's where he received it. And therefore it's considered like it's on the ground. Because we have a concept of Lovid, that anything that's within three tefachim of the ground is legally considered as though it's on the ground itself. So the Gemara asked, V'aymek Tani, our Mishnah says that we're talking in a case where the person is standing. If he's standing, how's his hand all the way within 3 tefachim of the ground? Answers the Gemara, 3 terutzim. B'shaycha, one terutz is that the person is bent over, and that's why his hand is all the way next to the ground. Ibayis eima beguma, the person is standing in a pit, so even if he's standing upright, his hand can be very close to the ground. Ibayis eima, third terutz, bananas. It's talking about a midget whose hand is always very close to the ground because he's unfortunately so short. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ich Botana L'Shmina Kohani. We have a long Mishnah, as we said at the beginning of the Gemara. And the Mishnah has all these long dinim to talk about these unusual cases where the midget or the guy is bending down. Is that, and like the Mefarshim explained, if that's the point of the Mishnah, the Ran says, then the Mishnah should have made a point of pointing out that we're talking about these cases. El Amarava, the Gemara gives the final explanation. Yada shel Adam chshuva ka'aba al ava. A person's hand is significant, even though it's not dalet al dalet, it has the din of dalet al dalet. V'ken ki asin Ravan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yada shel Adam chshuva ka'aba al ava. A person's hand is considered like an arba al ava. And the Rambam explains, why is a person's hand considered like a dalet al dalet? Because a hand could be, when you put something into a hand, the hand could grasp it. And that's why it's considered an area that's choshev, even though it doesn't measure dalet al dalet. Now, Tosfos mentions on the Aftalot Amud Beis that if you're machshev a makom, if you give significance in a place, even though the place doesn't have dalet al dalet, it'll get a chshivas even when it's not your hand. But, the Mefarshim point out, this will be different than his hand. By his hand, you don't have to have any significant thought. The hand we're learning in the Gemara now is always considered dalet al dalet. Another place, you have to have the chshivas. Without the chshivas, it won't make a difference. Another difference between a hand and everywhere else is explained by the Meiri and by the Ritva like this. A hand is always considered dalet al dalet. whether it's my hand or someone else's hand. The Gemara now established that a hand is always considered a dalet al dalet. However, a place on my area, on my place, even though it doesn't have a dalet al dalet, I could be machshavit and make it into makam dalet, making a makam choshev through my chshivas. However, on somebody else's area, I can't make it into dalet al dalet with my thought. The Ravid asks one more kasha. What is the exact case of the Mishnah? If his hand is below Gimel Tfachim, so then we don't have to come on to the halacha of Yod HaShel Adam Cheshuvik Dalet al Dalet, because it's like we explained before, we'll say love it. If it's between Gimel Tfachim and Ten Tfachim, why isn't it considered a Karmelus? And if it's above Dalet, above Ten Tfachim, then it's certainly not considered Rosh Hashanah above Ten Tfachim. So the Ravid answers that we're talking in a case taka that the hand is below Gimel above Gimel Tfachim. Why isn't it a Karmelus? Because a person can never become a Karmelus. Because what is considered a Karmelus? A Karmelus is considered a Rishus. A Rishus has to be a stationary place, because a Rishus is a place. Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabin, the Rabbanan added Karmelus. But a hand is not considered a place, since it's perpetually in motion, and therefore it's not considered Dalet al Dalet. Continues the Gemara. Amr of Oven, Amr of Eloy, Amr of Yoichon. Zork the Chayfitz. If somebody threw an object, v'noch v'tach yodos shel chaveroi, and it landed in his friend's hand, Chayiv. The person that threw it is Chayiv. It's considered Zork. Ask Gemara, Mike Mashmalon, what's Rabbi Yoichon teaching us? That he wants to tell us that yodos shel adam chshuv le'ka'arba l'arba, and that's why it's considered like you made a hanocha in somebody's hand. From Rabbi Yochanan, Chada Zimna. Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yochanan taught it to us once? Answers the Gemara, Ma de Taima, Hani Mila Heichad Achshbuli Yodei. When is a hand considered Dalet al Dalet? It's only when the person performing the transfer showed that he considered the person who's receiving his hand significant. Like in the case of our Mishnah, where the poor person intentionally put an object into the Balabais' hand. So the poor person indicated that he considers the Balabais' hand worthy of putting an item there, and it's considered a makam chashev. But where he did not show that the recipient's hand is significant, in Rabbi Yochanan's case, where the object just happened to land in that person's hand, maybe there we don't say that it's a hand is considered dalet al dalet. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan teaches us the second ruling, that even where one did not show beferish that the other person's hand is choshev to him, it's still a hand always has a din of dalet al dalet. Ask Tosfos, Davi's kasha. So why don't you just say the second din, where the person didn't show the chshivus of the hand, and still Rabbi Yochanan says that the hand is considered dalet al dalet, and then certainly in the case where the person showed a chshivas for the hand, that the hand should be considered dalet al dalet. So Taisha's answers, if I only had this din, I would only know it regarding a hanocha. That's why I need a case, the other case, to show it that not only by hanocha is a hand considered dalet al dalet, but even by an akira. So the Gemara goes back to talk about a din that we learned earlier. Amrav Oven, Amrav Eloy, Amrav Yochanan. If a person threw an object, Dalet Amos and Rishus Rabim, and another person caught it, so if the person who caught it was standing in his place and caught the object, Chayiv, then the person who threw it is Chayiv. However, if the person who caught it left his place and ran towards the object and then caught it, Potter. Then the person who threw it is Potter. And that's what it says in the Brisa also. If the person receiving the item stood in his place and caught it, chayiv, then the throw is chayiv for being maver dalet amos mishus rabim. However, if the person stayed in his place and caught it and ran from his place and caught it, Potter, then the person that threw it is Potter. Now, what's the reasoning? The answer is that when a person does melachas etzah, Melachas Etzah is a combination, as we've learned many times, of an Akira and a Hanocha. Without both of them, we don't have Melachas Etzah. When the Akira and the Hanocha are performed by different people, then these two actions are not connected, and they do not fuse into one act of Etzah, and therefore the Melacha is not considered to have been performed. So now let's understand it in our Gemara. When an item is taken by a person from place to place, so he uses two separate forces. One to perform the Akira, which he does when he lifts the item, and then when he goes to another spot, he does the Anocha. That's in the Melacha of Etzah. But here in our Gemara, we're not talking about Etzah. In our Gemara, we're talking about Zrika. So he exerts, Zrika is accomplished with one force. The person performs both the Kira and the Anocha to the place where he's throwing it. Now if the person who's supposed to catch it runs forward and intercepts the item, and therefore he prevents it from landing in the spot in which the person had originally thrown it towards, his counterforce is being exerted connected the original force. So what happens is the original Hanocha, which actually began at the moment of throwing, has now been suspended, and a new Hanocha, which is being done by another person, begins. So we certainly have here a situation of Shnaim Shesua. The thrower did the Akira, and the person who moved from a spot did the Hanocha. And therefore it's not considered a Melacha of Shabbos, of Zrika, of Dalet Amos B'Shus Rabim, and therefore we're not b'chayv. The Sfas Emes says a very interesting point. Yesterday we learned the Gemara, Rabibi Rabaya, that if somebody put dough in the oven, so we spoke about being allowed to take out the dough before it gets baked, before we come to the Melacha Afiyah. What's going to be the halacha if somebody threw a chayfetz and we want to avoid the Melacha of Zrika Dalet Amos, and let's say, we're not going to talk about the other person, the person himself who threw it should run and intercept the item in a spot before it was originally supposed to land. Therefore, he'll be able to avoid the Melacha Etzah, the Melacha Etzah, which is Issa Skila. Or perhaps, the Gemara asked the Sfas Emes, is only talking in a situation where there's another person who was supposed to catch it standing in one spot and moved away from that spot, that's when I say he's potter. But if it's the thrower who catches it, even though he wasn't the person who was supposed to catch it, or wasn't caught at the spot that it was supposed to be caught, what's going to be the halacha? That's how we prepare for the next Gemara. Boy Rabbi Yochan, Zor Chayfetz, V'nekehum Mekoyim V'chaz V'kivu Ma'u. That's going to be the nafkamina. Should he go get it or not? Ask the Gemara. Maikam Rabbi, what's the question? Amar of Adabar Hava. Shnei Koichs Bo'adam Ekkam Rabbi. Rabbi Yochan wants to know about two forces in the same person. Do we say Shnei Koichs Bo'adam Echad, Kadam Echadami, and therefore V'chayiv, him catching it, even if it's not in the place that it was originally supposed to be, it'll be Chayiv, so he's not accomplishing anything. So what's the point? He's just going to be doing more Melachas. It's considered like two people, a potter. And therefore be potter, and the Gemara blinds with a taikum. Continue to Gemara. Omar Ravin, Avin Omar Rav Yochanan. Hichnas yodo toi chatzar chaveri. If somebody put his hand into his friend's yard, the kiva megishamim, and he took rainwater, and then he brought it into the Rosh Hashanah Mishayif. Maskalar of Zeris, the Rav asks, Mali tina chaveri, what difference does it make if one's fellow put an object into his hand, Mali Tinoi Shemaim? What's the difference if the rain was put on from heaven? Iloi Avrikira. The person did not make the Kira. The rain was put on not by him, just like it was put on by Chaver. Answers the Gemara, Loi Tame Kibel. Don't say that he received rainwater. Elo kolat. He collected rainwater. That means he took the rainwater from one hand and he deflected it onto another hand. Ask the Gemara, even so, Vabinan, as we've been learning, Vabinan Akira made Me'agaba Mokum Arba, we have to have an Akira from a place that's Dal by Dal Tfachim. Vilekan, this is missing in such a situation. Amrav Chibre Rav Huna, it's talking about a case, Chidron Shikolat, Me'agaba Kaisel, where he collected the rain from the face of a wall. He got the rain off the wall, and therefore it's considered as if the rain came off from an area which is Dalet al Dalet. Frek the Gemara, Agaba Kaisel Nami, but even if it was on the wall, Valaynach, the rain never rested on the wall. And we've learned that an Akira can never happen unless the area was, unless the object was in a situation of rest. Since the rain was flowing down the wall, this can't be considered a legal Akira. Answers the Gemara, could Amar Rava, like Rava said in another situation, which the Gemara will describe in Amar Beis, the Kaisel Meshupah. It's dealing with a sloping wall. Hakanami is talking about a Kaisel Meshupah. Enechanami, rain is not considered to have come to a degree of rest on a straight wall, but it does come to rest on a sloping wall. Ask the Gemara, Behechi Itma de Rava, where was Rava's din said, this concept of a Kaisel Meshupah, of a sloping wall, Ahad Etnan. If one was reading a sefer, and in times of Chazal, all Sfarim were like a scroll, and he was sitting on an eskupin. A eskupin is an elevated threshold, which, as far as the halacha is concerned, is considered a kamus, because it's less than 4 tefachim wide, and it's between 3 and 10 tefachim high. Then it's gagal a sefer miyodai. And now one end of the book rolled away from his hand and landed in the Rishus Rambam that's below him. Is the halacha goyalai etzlai? He could roll it up to himself. Why? Because we're not dealing with a deraisa, because he's in a karmelis, and for Rishus Rambam to a karmelis is not a deraisa. And the only time Chazal, as we're going to learn now in the Gemara, acid rolling the scroll back, it's only where there's a potential for Issa Deraisa, if the entire scroll were to fall out of the person's hand. But where there's no potential for Deraisa, such as in our case, because we're dealing with a Karmelis and a Rishus Rabbim, the halach is the person is allowed to roll the scroll provided that one end is still in his hand. However, if the person was reading on the top of a roof, which is Rishus HaYochid, and then one end of the scroll rolled away from his hand into the Rishus Rambam below, is the halacha like this? Actually, as long as it doesn't reach to within 10 tefachim of the ground, which is the Rishus Rabbim, is the halacha, he could roll it back to himself because it's not going from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid. However, once it reaches to within 10 tefachim of the ground, he shouldn't roll it back, even though we don't have a situation of the Issa Deraisa, because he's still holding it, but since potentially there could be a Deraisa here, if he wouldn't be holding it, so Chazal said, leave it that way, just turn it over to avoid bezoin of Sifri Kodesh. That's this the Makar the Rishonim say that we should never leave a sefer open, and that's it. Ravinabo. And we try to understand this Mishnah. And my heart kolaksav, why is it required that the person should turn it over halaynach? But it never came to a hanacha, so we should allow him to take it back all the way. Because as we explained, the only time we're going to make exer when it could come to a sederaisa. But without a hanocha, it could never come to an issa deraisa. Vamar Rava. So Rava said, "B'kaisel meshupah." The Brais is talking, the Mishnah is talking about a sloping wall. And and that's why it's considered a Rishus Rabbim. Tosfos asks, why did we have to be speaking specifically about a case of a Sefer? Why can't we just say any story? So Tosfos says we want to show that even though we're talking about a Sefer, and we would think that we should be Mekel, because of the Zion Sefer Kodesh, still in a case where there could be a potential to be over the Raisa, we are Makbet. Another point, other Rishonim learned just the opposite of Tosfos. The first thing that the Mishnah we just learned was that if he was on a Carmelus and he's holding one end, even though it rolled into the Rishus Rabbim, he could take it back. So those Rishonim say only by a Sefer, since we're talking about Kisvei Kodesh, will be Mekel. By other things, even though one area is a Carmelus and there's a lot of reasons to be Mekel, still we won't be Mekel because of the Chumra V'tzah. So the Gemara explained that we're talking about a Kais Moshupa. Tosfos explains that we're talking about a Kaisel that a lot of people use to put things on. Because otherwise, it would not be considered a Rishus Rabbim. The Ramban says, even if it's not a Kaisel that people constantly use to put their items on, as long as it's near the Rishus Rabbim, and it's anywhere up to 10 tefachim, it's considered Rishus Rabbim. Now, we explain the Rabbi Yochanan scenario that we spoke about before at the bottom of Amud Aleph, where that he put with the rainwater is also talking with the Kaisa Meshuppah. Ask the Gemara, Eimad of Rava, when did Rava say this? The Sefer. David Anayich, only regarding a Sefer, which naturally comes to rest on upon a sloping wall. The Maya Mevida Daniyaicha, water doesn't come to rest on a sloping wall, water will flow down. So the water is therefore not considered in a state of rest. If it's not considered in a state of rest, the person should be chayiv for making an Akira. So therefore Rava says, you know what the person, what we're talking about? Elam Rava, Kigon Shekolot my Malgabaguma. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a case where the person collected the water from the top of a hole. Ask the Gemara Guma Pshita. If the water was in the hole, it's obvious that it's chayiv. What's Rabbi Yochanan come to teach us? Answers the Gemara. Ma de taima. Without Rabbi Yochanan's ruling, I would have thought, Mayim agaba mayim lava nachahu. Water that's on top of water is not considered at rest. Why is it not considered at rest? Because water constantly moves. Kamash mlan. That's why Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that water is considered at rest, because we view the entire body of water as one single mass, and therefore even the top layer of water is considered as being rest upon the floor of the hole. So the Rishonim say, Avada, if the water is only 3 tefachim or less, then certainly we consider the water at rest. Because like we said before, we'll say loved when it's within 3 tefachim. The chiddush here is that even if the water is deeper than 3 tefachim, and I can't say loved, still mayim al gabe mayim is considered nach. Vaz del rav l'tamei, and rav goes according to his reasoning that he said elsewhere, damer rav, mayim al gabe mayim, water on top of water, hayno nechosam, is considered at a state of rest. However, ego is al gabe mayim, but a not flowing on water, lav hayno nechosam, is not considered in a state of rest. The Rosh Yosef questions, what's going to be a halacha with ice on top of water? Is that considered like water on top of water because ice is just frozen water? Or do I say that ice and water is not one item and I therefore cannot consider it at rest? From the Rambam it's mashma that ice and gaba water is not considered at rest. Boy Rava. So Rai Rava asked a question. Egg is the kli. If a nut is in a keli, the kli tzafa gaba mayim, and the keli is floating on water, bus egges is linen, do we go after the state of the nut, v'noich, and the nut is at rest, because it's in the vessel, is the place it belongs. Or dima bus a kli as linen, do we follow the state of the vessel, v'loinach, and the vessel is not at rest the night, it's moving around in the water. The answer to the Gemara, teku. The Gemara leaves it unresolved. Continues the Gemara with a similar case. Shemesh etzafa gabe yayin. If somebody picks up oil which is floating on top of wine and puts it into another rishus. Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Rabbanan. This, his chi will depend on a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbanan. Tetnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, in Tfil Yoyim. The halach is when a person becomes tamei, even though he went to the mikvah, until he has Tfil Yoyim. Until nightfall, he's considered a Tfil Yoyim, and a Tfil Yoyim could give tumah to somebody else. So shemesh etzafa gabe yayin. If oil of truma is floating atop of wine of truma, v'nagat tfil yoyim b'shemen, and the tfil yoyim touched the oil, but he did not touch the wine. Le'pasul el shem levad. So the Tana Kama says only the oil becomes tamei because the tfil yoyim touching it, and not the wine because the wine and oil are considered as two separate entities. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Yomer shnei mechuberim zel lazeh. The oil and the wine are connected with each other, and therefore they become both tamei. Similarly, so let's connect it to our thing. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri considers the two liquids as one. Therefore they would say, oil floating on wine is similar to not floating on water. And he would say that somebody takes the oil from a tap of the wine would not be chayif. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, however, holds that it would be chayif. Because he says oil on top of wine is like water floating on top of water, and water on top of water, we learned before that everybody agrees that it's considered in a state of rest, and it would be chayif. The Meiri says, of course, that this is dafka, oil on top of wine, or oil on top of water. But wine on top of wine, or even wine on top of water, since they easily combine, they're very similar in the viscosity, it's considered one mass, and it can be considered chayif. If somebody was carrying food and drink, and he lifted in the Rishus HaYachid, and his intention was to remain in the Rishus HaYachid. That was his original intention. However, at the end, he ended up walking in and out of the house all day long. He's not chayiv until he stops. So he comes to a matziv of stopping. And from there, you could have an akira with a hanocha. Amar Abaye, what kind of stopping is considered stopping? That he stood still to rest. Not just to adjust his load. Mamai. From here I know that. Midah Amamar. From what Rava said concerning a person who's carrying an object, Dalat Amos from Shusha Rabbim. The halacha is, if somebody's walking Dalat Amos carrying something from Shusha Rabbim, Toich Arba Amos, and he stopped in the middle of the Dalat Amos, Amid Lofush, if he stood still to rest, Potter, because we considered it as if he stopped before completing the Dalat Amos. However, Lakatif, if he only stood to adjust his load, he's Chayiv. He would consider he's chayif because it's considered that he didn't stop. Chutz la'ab amas, if he stood after dal amas, then just the opposite will apply. Amid lofush chayif. If he stood still to rest, he's chayif because we consider his standing still as though he put the object down. Lekatef, but if he stood still to adjust his load, he's potter because he never put down the object after dal amas, so there was never a hanocha. Now, ask the Gemara, what was Rabbi Yochanan trying to teach us? That if a person lifted an object without intending to carry it out, and only later changed his mind and carried it out, he's potter. Why? Because the lifting was not originally performed for this purpose, and we know that you have to have a kavanah to do an akira. Ask the Gemara, Ham Rabbi Yochanan Chadazimna. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us this thing once? Dom Rav Safra, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamav chafetzim is obvious. Somebody carries things from one corner to another corner in Rosh Hashayachid without intention of taking them outside for nimelchaleim vetsiyan, and then he changes his mind and he does take them out potter. Why? That was not his original purpose, and to be considered an akir, you have to do it from the beginning. Answers the Gemara, Amaroi Ninu. You're right. Both of these rulings are identical. But they were quoted by different Amaroyim. Ma Amalei B'Hai Lishna. Rabbi Loi said it this way, was the way Rabbi Yochanan said it. Rav Ami said it that this was the way Rabbi Yochanan said it, but actually there's no difference in halacha. Now, what did we just learn? That, to review, that somebody's not chayif, somebody did not do the malacha of etzah, unless he performs an akira in one rishos and an anocha in another rishos. We're saying now that stopping is considered a hanocha only if one is oimed lofesh, if he stops to rest. However, if one is oimed lakasif, he just pulls to adjust his package, it's not considered hanocha. So let's understand that. It means, if somebody took a package from Rishus HaYochid and walked into the Rishus HaRabim, where he merely paused to adjust the package on his back, and then he walked back into the Rishus HaYochid, he's not considered that he did a malacha because he did not do a legal act of hanocha in Rishus Rabbim. On the other hand, let's say somebody carries, like we just learned, an object 2 amos in Rishus Rabbim, and he stops before continuing to carry another 2 amos. He's potter. If he stopped lofush because he did not carry the item the required dalar amos. But if the person stopped in the middle of Dalar Amos just Lakasif, that's not considered having stopped, and if he continues and completes Dalar Amos, he'll be chayif. Then this halacha has very serious ramifications regarding somebody who carries something out by mistake on Shabbos. Somebody's in the street on Shabbos and he realizes that he's carrying his keys. The worst thing he should do is impulsively drop the item, because then it would be considered they made a hanok on the Rishus Rabbim. What's the right thing to do? He should carry the item back into Rishus HaYochid, and by doing this, he avoids being over Hitzah, since there was no hanok performed in Rishus Rabbim. But this recommendation is only appropriate if he has not stopped in Rishus Rabbim. Because if he's standing still in Rishus Rabbim, when he realizes that he's carrying something, then he should let it down where he is standing. Carrying it back into Rishus HaYochid would be a new act of Etzah. Now, according to Abaya, that we just learned, it matters why he stopped. If he merely stopped to adjust his load, then this is not considered Hanocha. In such a case, it would be wrong for him to drop the item where he's standing. Rather, he should do as we explained before, he should return to Rishus HaYochid. The Mishnah Berurah says that if one stops for any reason other than to justice package, it's considered a situation of Oymed Lofush, and the stop constitutes a Hanocha, even if the person had to stop. Like he had to stop for a red light, or he had to stop because he had to use the restroom. The Sfas Emes disagrees, and he holds that unless somebody stops voluntarily, like to rest, it's considered a situation of Oymed Lekasef, and the stop does not constitute a Hanocha. So the machloikis of the Mishnah Berurah and the Sfas Emes will have a nafkamina la'alocha l'maisa. What will happen if somebody accidentally carried something from his house to Rishus Rabbim and he was forced to stop at the corner because of traffic, because of a light? According to Mishnah Berurah, his act of stopping is considered hanocha, and therefore he should drop the item right there and then. However, according to the Sfas Emes, stopping because of a red light is not a hanocha, and in such a case, the person should continue carrying the item and return it to Rishus HaYochid. The Ran says that this entire conversation that we have now between the Sfas Emes and the Mishnah Berurah is only relevant if the person has the item in his hand or on his shoulders. But of course, if he put down the item on the floor, even if his intention was just to be able to arrange himself, that, this Ran says, will certainly be considered a hanocha, and if you pick it up after that, it will be considered like you being picked it up from a situation of rest. One more shaila that the Chiddush HaRim points out from this Gemara. Interesting. We're learning now, Gemara, that you have to have, an Akira has to have Das. So the Chiddush HaRim wants to say, all the Pais can disagree with the Chiddush HaRim, that this could be a head to why we could allow a child to carry in Shabbos. Since, as we know, a Katan doesn't have Das. And we're saying now that an Akira cannot take place without Das. So a child's picking up will never be considered an Akira. And if it's never considered an Akira, he won't be... there's no point in disallowing him from making an Akira on Shabbos. The Shaila Meshiv and many other Paisim vehemently disagree, and they say an Akira is an Akira, and we certainly should not allow the child to do that, even if there's a lack of das by children.